How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. Journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
The issue of life transcends anybody's petty politics. This goes to the very heart of who we are as a country.
What I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
There's an Occupy faith in Boston, there's an Occupy faith in Oakland, there's an Occupy faith in Washington, D.C., there's an Occupy faith in Chicago. And there are more and more of these groups that are primarily faith leaders.
When you're talking about a fully devoted Christ follower, where's the focus? The focus is not on Christ. The focus is on self. And when the focus is on self, it's always wrong.
Homeschool families love issues, etc. We have issues.
I don't put a lot of stock in sociological prophecy. I don't know what else to call it, prediction. But sometimes when you're right, you are right. And the degree to which this man was right, Marshall McLuhan, if you don't know his name, you've probably, well, I don't think probably, you certainly have been influenced by his ideas, and you are part of many of the predictions that he made about how the media would shape us and how we would shape the various media in our lives. The famous phrase attributed to him, the medium is the message, is one that is deep with insight, not only inside, but also outside the church. We're going to be talking about lessons we can learn from 20th century media guru Marshall McLuhan here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday. It's the 1st of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Issues Etc. is 2 hours ahead for the first half hour or so. Dr. Arthur Hunt will join us to talk about Marshall McLuhan and his contribution to the way we think and the way we communicate, and now the way that we socialize with one another. After that, we'll do a little sermon review here on Issues Etc., a sermon preached by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, talking about Jesus healing the man with the unclean spirit. That'll bring us to hour two. We're going to do some audio open lines. It's a story from CBS, I believe, a woman who has reportedly stolen nearly $1 million from the Archdiocese of New York over the course of some years, and this wasn't the first time she'd been convicted for fraud and theft and embezzlement. But she was hired before, there was a policy of criminal background checks, and she managed to get away with over $1 million and was pretty much spending like a drunken sailor until she was caught. What should the church do about this? Is the church too trusting? Should we have a mandatory criminal background check? Should we trust, here's a big one for your average church, should you trust volunteers to count the money on Sunday morning, which a lot of churches do? I'll get your answer to those questions during audio open lines in hour two of Issues Etc. After that, Kelly Fedoric will join us of Americans United for Life. You have certainly heard by now there's a decision by the nation's leading breast cancer charity to stop grants to Planned Parenthood. Are those funds cut off permanently or only temporarily? It's a very important question. Then Dr. Ed Engelbrecht will join us from Concordia Publishing House. We'll talk about the theology of the cross and sudden tragic events. We call them accidents, but that simply doesn't do the job sometimes when we talk about how tragic tragedy can be. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page and leave a comment, a question for audio open lines in hour two, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Arthur Hunt is Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Tennessee at Martin. He's author of the book, The Vanishing Word, and he's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled, Marshall McLuhan, What Were You Doing? Coiner of the Global Village Turns 100. Dr. Hunt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's glad to be with you.
When it comes to the media in general, and it's just remarkable to think of what the media meant when he spoke these words, how accurate have the predictions of Marshall McLuhan proven to be?
Well, you know, he wasn't a biblical prophet, of course, and so his predictions are not 100% accurate. We might even think of him as a type of secular prophet in the sense that he sort of looked into the future using his imagination and his intellect and tried to analyze and predict what might come to pass. As far as how many predictions he made were true, well, of course not all of them. He was, of course, I'm sure, wrong on a number of things, but remarkably, he was right on a lot of things. He foresaw, for example, and this is one of the things he's well known for, seeing the coming together of what we now call the global village.
No, that's a term that he meant, and when he meant it, he had a certain picture in mind. What was the picture?
Yeah, of course, we use this phrase quite a bit today, but he I think, was probably the first to coin it. And when he used the phrase, he was simply talking about electronic interdependence. He believed that if all electronic media taken together, and this was growing and coming together in the 20th century, but it would restructure the world as we know it. And he believed that information in the future would flow instantaneously from one situation to another, all over the face of the earth, so that the world would become a small village-like affair. And he compared it with tribal society. You know, we think of tribal society when we maybe thumb through a National Geographic, looking at older cultures, oral cultures. And so we have these images of oral society. One of the remarkable metaphors that he used is that, as in older tribal societies, the tribal drum in the new global village is still predominant, and it comes to us via the media. So whenever something happens in the world events, we immediately hear it through the tribal drum. So the Twin Towers fall down, and the drum goes boom, 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 and everyone in the world almost attends to it. Or we hear that Princess Di is killed in a terrible automobile accident. Boom, 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 the drum goes again. Everybody hears about it. So this is what he meant. He was talking about electronic interdependence. He said it was the externalization of the human subconscious on a global scale. He even referred to it as a type of ESP, where everybody was connected with everybody, and that we would know instantaneously what was going on in the world. And of course, today, when we talk about commerce, when we talk about communication, we're all connected now, and we're part of a giant web that encompasses the globe.
Give us a brief biography of this man. He's been gone for, what, we're going on 30, more than 30 years now.
Yeah, he passed away in 1980, and he was an academic, really. His training was in American and British literature. He taught in America. He became well known in the 1960s and the 1970s. He had written some books in the 1960s, specifically The Gutenberg Galaxy and Understanding Media. And in these books, he said some penetrating things. One of the things that he said in Understanding Media, he said that the new electronic media would undo the old print society. And when he started making these declarations, heads started to turn. And of course, television was sort of coming to age in the 1960s and the 1970s. And since he was talking about the media, since he was talking about television in his books, he was underscoring the importance of it. television gladly embraced him. And so he was giving answers to questions, even if they were sort of off-the-wall kind of answers, to an age, the 60s, that were, and the 70s, which were somewhat turbulent, especially the 60s, with political assassinations and campus riots and the sexual revolution. All these things are making the headlines. And here comes an academic, and he was a tall man. He had an unusual way of speaking, and he even occasionally dressed in an unusual, eccentric way. Television loved him because of his unusual way of using puns and metaphors, what he called probes. He was coined a media guru in the 70s. Just recently, Wired magazine made him their patron saint. So he's an academic who actually used the medium of television to talk about the electronic world that encompassed us, and that we couldn't always figure out, but he always had something to say about it.
Dr. Arthur Hunt is our guest. We're talking with him about lessons that we can learn from 20th century media guru Marshall McLuhan. I believe it's his centennial this year, and we'll continue our conversation with him for about another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. Dr. Hunt is Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Tennessee at Martin, author of the book The Vanishing Word, and he's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Marshall McLuhan, What Were You Doing? Coiner of the Global Village Turns 100. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Hunt is our guest. We're talking about lessons we can learn from 20th century media guru Marshall McLuhan. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 1st, and we are coming to you live. Dr. Hunt, the most famous phrase that he uttered among the dozens, he was basically a quote factory He probably was well aware of that, which is why he produced so many of them. But his most famous is The Medium is the Message. What was his insight into communication when he stated that?
Right. Much of the time when we think about communication, we think about the content as being the most important aspect of the communication process. McLuhan says content might be important, but we cannot neglect this notion of the medium, that is, the means or the mode of communication. McLuhan was one of the founders of the media ecology field, along with Neil Postman. And this particular branch of communication looks at how media actually is a message. Best way to frame this, I think, is when you look at things like the Reformation. What was it about the Reformation that allowed the Word of God to spread so rapidly? Well, it was the invention of the printing press. So you really can't study the Reformation without considering the printing press. Or if you look at Greek culture and you look at the rise of or the experimentation of democracy in Athens, you really can't talk about that unless you talk about the invention of the phonetic alphabet. Or if you talk about the American political scene, even what's going on now in our presidential election, you can't talk about modern politics today without talking about the influence of television. So that's what he meant. McLuhan said there are actually three major technological innovations in human communication, one being the invention of the phonetic alphabet, and then second, the printing press, and then third, the electronic media or the graphic revolution that began in the 19th century and grew tremendously in the 20th century. And now is very pervasive today. And McLuhan believed that that human communication was sort of reciprocal with us going from tribal culture to anti-tribal culture with printing press, which led to fragmentation and specialization, to now a re-tribalization of culture with electronic media.
I'm wondering, was he cautious about the nature of the media, the technological aspect? As these advances come, inevitably, they change both the form and the content. Was he cautious in that regard?
One thing that I find fascinating about McLuhan was early in his career, he was very moralistic when talking about electronic media. In fact, if you look at his early writings, especially a book like The Mechanical Bride, you get a sense that he's irritated. He's irritated with modern advertising, for example. He's irritated with crass consumerism. He is an old world Catholic, and one of his favorite authors was Chesterton. Actually, Chesterton and his writing sort of led to his conversion to Christianity. So he's an old-world Catholic, and electronic media did produce kind of a rub. He did think that electronic media was powerful, so he was not cautious in talking about it. But then there was sort of a shift in his life in which he stopped his moralizing. And this occurred probably in the 1960s, especially when he became more prominent. And he started talking as a detached observer. Even in The Mechanical Bride, you can read the preface of that and understand that where he's coming from as this observer. Kind of a detached scientist. He used Edgar Allan Poe's short story, A Descent into the Maelstrom, to sort of describe what he was doing. I don't know if your listeners know that much about the story, but in the story, in Poe's story, a sailor saves himself from drowning by taking notice of the action that was going around in the whirlpool, and the sailor was going to drown by staying in the boat, but he realized there were some things outside the boat that were not sinking, and so the sailor attached himself to this barrel, and he threw himself overboard, and he saved his life. And McLuhan said, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make people see that they don't have to be caught in the electronic vortex, but they need to be careful. They need to watch the patterns that swirl around them, because if they don't, they're going to be sucked down. So that's what he was doing. He may have appeared to be optimistic about the global village and the new electronic media, but what he was really saying is that this is very significant, and you better pay attention to it because it's life-altering. It's societal. It brings about great societal change.
A more pessimistic view was adopted later by Neil Postman, who has been a guest on this program. We wrote Amusing Ourselves to Death. Can that be seen as somewhat of a corrective to McLuhan, or simply building upon his insight?
It's very, very interesting to compare McLuhan and Postman. Postman was an intellectual disciple of McLuhan. In fact, in rubbing shoulders with people who knew Postman, I did not know Postman, but I knew people who knew Postman. Postman attended one of McLuhan's lectures early in his career, and it was life changing for Postman. And so Postman was an educator, but then after this light bulb went off in Postman's head, caused to some extent by McLuhan, Postman began to write about the media, and certainly agreed with McLuhan that the medium is the message. Postman, however, was more, or at least in his writings, was more moralistic. So he comes across as being more pessimistic as far as what electronic media is doing in the culture. His book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, is a critique on television and how it shapes the culture, how it shapes other institutions, cultural institutions like education and like politics. You know, the title, Amusing Ourselves to Death, kind of lets you know where Postman's coming from.
With only about a minute here, what do you think Marshall McLuhan would have made of the media as it is today? And it's changing so quickly, it's hard to even say what that is. But what would he have made of the world of Twitter, the world of Facebook, everything that the Internet has brought us? With about a minute, Dr. Hunt.
Boy, that's a good question. You know, later on in his life, he became a little bit more open as far as his pessimism, or at least it leaked out a little bit more. I wouldn't say totally open. In the 1970s, his influence began to wane. He had a stroke in which he was not able to write or to appear in public like he used to. I have spoken with McLuhan's son, Eric, on a couple of occasions, and he doesn't hesitate to say that McLuhan had this pessimism about some aspects of electronic media. McLuhan would not even let his children watch television, but maybe an hour or so every week. McLuhan himself, later on in his life, talked about sometimes he feels like the young generation, they're illiterate, they seem uncivilized, their pursuits seem stifled. He even wasn't afraid to talk about apocalypse. I don't mean necessarily in the biblical sense, as in the Book of Revelation.
About 20 seconds here.
Yeah, but this could go. He said that this could turn out to be the Christ of the new millennium, that is electronic media, or it could be Yeats' rough beast come around at last, slouching toward Bethlehem. He kind of left it open-ended. I think the main thing that we need to learn from McLuhan is that we shape our technologies, but our technologies shape us. So we need to pay attention. We need to be like that sailor in Poe's short story. We need to watch the swirling vortex around us.
Dr. Arthur Hunt is Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Tennessee at Martin, author of the book The Vanishing Word. He's written an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled Marshall McLuhan, What Were You Doing? Coiner of the Global Village Turns 100. You'll find more out about the book Vanishing Word at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Hunt, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back, we'll do a little sermon review here on Issues Etc., a sermon preached this last Sunday in Vienna, Virginia at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church on Jesus in the synagogue, healing the man with the unclean spirit from Mark chapter 1. Some sermon review, that means our diagnostic, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? We'll go over that diagnostic briefly, then we'll get straight into this sermon from Pastor James Douthwaite on Jesus casting out the unclean. And what does he do with us? What does he do with us who are unclean? As unclean as that evil spirit, what will this Jesus, who teaches with authority and commands demons, do with us? We'll answer that question during our sermon review for the last half hour of Issues Etc., then hour two.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.